If I were to ask you what your philosophy of life or your creed, what would that be?
Have a good time all the time.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shine, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be met.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
You got any enemies, Brooklyn?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like
social enemies that might resent you for being funny?
Oh, I mean, probably just all the places I've worked and fucked around over the years, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
every employer.
Most of them, yeah. I always knew I was going to be here.
See, this is this is a fantastic example of, like, rationalising back. In your mind, you've been fired several times for just being too funny. It's, like, the similar...
Yeah. Nothing to do with your work ethic. Yeah, cracking too many gags.
Well, I got fired. One thing... I'd tell this story... Every one of these I do, but
mate,
like,
just spill it.
Yes. I got sacked for the falling asleep. Well, not for that, but I got this funny letter about.
I reckon it was relevant.
Well, it was like, no. But it was pretty funny because
the jokes I was dreaming about.
I think it's on, I have spoken about this, but it's at Bloomberg, which they're fucking well to do. They're big, you know.
Bloomberg,
the company. Yeah. Sydney.
The company.
Bloomberg, yeah. But that's named after the guy, the politician, whatever it was.
And they're finance.
Yeah. Or they're everything, and they liked me. They had a little studio, and they did their economic Amazon report, and I showed them my Comedy Central weed video and
did
stuff.
You?
And I was like, yeah, I could do some of that stuff, you know, joking, but
yeah, but like serious.
Anyway,
I'm the only comedian to come up. Most people want the Comedy Central 30 minutes. Yeah. They want a Netflix special. You're going to come up on Bloomberg News.
Yeah, level 15. But like, anyway, and I got this stupid letter from my company saying like, you fell asleep, you fucking were looking,
and
at
you
the,
were
the
in
other
the...
jobs. All this funny letter.
Mm. Just to backtrack. I do know this story,
yeah.
But you got caught asleep at work.
Yeah.
And not like on a night shift.
Nah, in the day. Like, because I've never really been in a computer. I mean, I've been in a computer before, but I don't have experience. Like,
you're blaming
that. Well, I don't have
the screensaver was electrified.
Well, no, but if you're not used to it and you're there, it is. You want to not, like, I'm used to fixing, you know.
Dude,
what I mean.
In
like,
the afternoon, because I don't work in an office, but I've had to do, I remember when I was doing some writing last year, first time I've been in an office in ages.
Mm.
After lunch, I was like, just my eyes were closing. I don't know how people get through the day.
It's just too boring. I used to work with a guy who sometimes would go into, like, he was a young guy who didn't yet, similar situation, wasn't there for that long, but he'd figured it out. When he was tired, he just walked into a very public office and just lay down on a chair and just had a sleep for an hour or whatever. So you can see.
And he didn't get fired.
No, he got. He was like, it's perfect. No one even says anything about it or anything. I'm like, I reckon people are.
Yeah, so people are taking notes.
He'll come up at some point.
Well, I didn't mean to. It was all an accident, you know? Like, I could feel myself going. But anyway, the story had been told, but I'll put up the thing on the letters on my Insta because it's so funny, you know?
Oh, totally,
so,
yeah.
Like, thing under the Fair Work Act, we find this unreasonable, you know what I mean? Like, sleep or whatever. But then I put that up, and then I got another warning for that, like a final warning.
Mm.
So I had to go and have the meeting about the letter.
And what did they say?
Well, you know, here's mate. Like, they just want to fix people's fucking lights and make money, and that's it. They don't care about comedy.
Mm.
But I'm in there, and they're saying, look, you know, you put this letter up, it's a clear violation of the fucking whatever it is, don't say anything.
Oh, this is like Inception now.
Don't say anything policy or whatever. And I was like, yes, well, Scott, while I can appreciate it from a business point of view, but I also work as a comedian. So while putting up that letter is, you know, severely at odds with this position, it goes very favourably with the other.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's my choice. And that's all I said. I said, that's like...
This is business.
I said, this is business. This is my choice. My shirts are in the bag. What do you want to do? You know, like... And then they couldn't sack me or so. Oh, that's pretty funny. They could after all that, but like, not
surely.
But they did sack you.
Yeah. But anyway, I think... But I got 2 weeks paid out and I got the iPhone 6 because anyway, so it's pretty good for me.
Oh, so you took the phone?
Yeah. Well, they didn't know because I thought it's so disorganized, there's no way they know I've got this.
Mm.
So they said, anything else? And I said, no, that's it. And then just took the phone.
That's not bad. Man, that's another good way to rationalize back.
But they would have hated me for that. You know, they wouldn't have thought funny. That's funny.
I think they would they would talk about it not with... I reckon they still talk about it, like, a lot, probably. Like,
this
remember
is the
that
trouble.
Guy...
I was talking to someone who works in HR, and he did point out that it is just, like, it's good goss pretty consistently. It would be a pretty fun job. Like, whoever is in that meeting, presumably is, like, some sort of boss, but then also someone who works in, like, the people management, You'd have some good story. Oh, I reckon they're like, laughing later.
The guy fell asleep on level 15. Yeah. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, great stuff.
Then posted the letter on Instagram.
Well, it did have, no, but I think they didn't. The company,
they feel like it's pretty funny.
The company was of a size that they didn't have their own HR department, maybe, or something. But you can they have to outsource. So that's it all took so long. So all's going on. I still worked for another like 2 months fucking around anyway.
Totally.
So it was pretty sweet.
Did you sleep again?
Nah, not there. No, I never got no one. They lost their contract at Bloomberg after that.
Oh my God.
You cost them.
Cost another bloke his job, I think. But like, you know, I didn't know I was going to fall asleep. I was tired and I shouldn't. Anyway,
it's actually the perfect crime because by definition, you can't have been awake when you're doing it.
Yeah. It's like your
Honor.
Your mate that's falling asleep in the office being like, yeah, it's great. No one cares about it. Like, he's like, asleep.
You would see the size.
Everyone is talking about it, dude.
Usually while you've nodded off. I used to go in to the toilet cubicle when I worked full time in an office and sometimes have a nap in there when I was pretty tired. I think that's
just
the
sitting on the loo.
Yeah, and lean up against the side.
It's so bad that that's what life comes to. Like having just like that sort of fatigue just from like not from even just
boredom
doing the job. Yeah, it's
exactly.
A lot of it. It's like
exactly.
So sad.
Well, I remember when I was getting these nods last year in this room, this office room I was in, like I would go to the vending machine and buy like a whole bag of lollies and just start trying to just get a sugar high and then drink coffees and it's like
that'll only get you another hour though.
Well, very rarely
it barely works. You barely get the time back it takes to make
people get like real accustomed to it and then they're doing these crazy they're in the offices till 9 at night and stuff. It's like I just don't know how.
Well, can I say I want to speak for myself here, but also feel free to get involved with this explanation, Crookshank. I reckon when you've had some drinks the night before that often exacerbates the situation.
That's what it was with me. And I hadn't even had I hadn't had that much to drink. Like not really. You know what I mean? A couple frozen mugs, like fair play.
Absolutely.
And then it wasn't out till 3 or anything like that, but I probably went to bed late. I remember having an argument on the phone before bed and going to bed. So I probably I slept like, you know, it's not uncommon to sleep. I didn't, you know, not sleep or anything like that. And then it was just
an arvo nap, you know?
Yeah.
I need to chill.
Well, it was in the morning.
But yeah, like okay.
But it was mainly from the computer. The computers makes you so tired if you're not used to it.
Is that proven?
By me?
Yeah.
At that thing it is.
At that thing, yeah.
But I don't know if there's any, what science is behind it, anything like that.
Maybe it depends on the website, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Googling new beds.
You might have, speaking of you falling asleep, the other night we were at the pub after a gig and you were pretty drunk. I think you were having a few because it was your birthday.
Don't talk about my birthday on this, but
No, let's not talk about that. But like, even though I clearly have just talked about it, but
it doesn't want to have a birthday.
But anyway, I don't like birthdays either. Though. I famously hate birthdays. I tell everyone that. But anyway, you were like, get me a drink, cunt. That's what.
Oh, sorry. don't do this here. Don't do it on this.
No, anyway, but it was kind of like a fun, nice kind of.
Yeah, okay, well, as long as you're here, you know what I mean?
And I think I said back, no worries, cunt. You know, like, you know.
Oh, you were getting part of it.
I was
well.
Feeling like one of the guys, you know.
Yeah, right.
I thought pretty good.
I've been like accepted into the alpha group
so
in the world of comedy.
Go on, finish
anyway,
it.
Anyway. So I get you like whiskey, soda, and I'm like, bang, go up, get you a drink, put it down, we're having a chat, blah, blah, blah. Next minute I look around, you've legged it. The drink, full drink, just left on the table, not touched. You're never to be seen again. The drink's probably still
I don't
there.
Know what happened, mate. I don't know, you know. And I'll get you a drink.
Aaron,
no, I don't want the drink. I just want to know, did you get home okay?
An hour before that, I bought you a drink.
Yeah.
And you didn't have that either. And I caught you at the bar ordering a different one.
Dude,
really?
Are you faking drinking?
Okay. I've had a bit of frozen margaritas, just a few of those.
No, I did it on purpose.
Just a cheeky few. You're going to the bathroom, pouring them down there. You having a nap in there? No, just flushing the alcohol.
I don't know what happened, right? I don't know.
You're the one that wants to be one of the boys.
Me?
It's Crookshank along.
You just want to drink along.
Yeah. No, but I definitely had some drinks, to be fair to me.
We went to a wedding together, and you, speaking of frozen margaritas, absolutely laid in.
That was a good time that day.
Oh, yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was good.
There was Crookshank's got a bit of a sweet tooth, Tom. I don't know if you know this.
But the
margaritas have come up a few times.
Yeah, yeah.
He made us margaritas.
Ooh, okay, that's not a bad move.
In the morning. Oh, my God, it was so good. Mm, and then there was like a slushy cocktail thing. I had one. It was the sweetest thing I've ever had. I was like, I can't drink this for the rest of the day. And then I didn't see you without one in your hand.
Well, I went hard on those, yeah. They were like pouring shit in, or you know what I mean? Like,
oh, totally.
Fucking, I don't know how they kept it cold all day.
It does feel kind of like fun, so it's not like you can't have a drinking problem if it's margaritas, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
It's like fun and silly.
Like housewives have that same theory. Yeah.
Housewives have really figured it out. The more kind of ridiculous the thing is, it feels kind of like an just like an impulsive decision. Like it's not you're doing every day.
Yeah.
Sorry, my phone went off.
Ding, yeah.
I got a big ding. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're talking about HR before. I wanted to say that I remember I worked at a small company once that didn't have an HR department, and then they got to a certain size where they realized they kind of needed one, and they hired this guy who was a gay guy in his late 30s. I was like early 20s. Mm-hmm. And he was like lovely guy. And yeah, he was, you know, would onboard people. And like, he was the HR guy. And I think like a week in, we had the Christmas party, or maybe we just went out for drinks, but like a week into his job at like 10 PM on a Friday night, he had me in a corner showing me his phone, just showing me different pictures of his cock.
The HR guy.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, right. You are the bloke that,
how many pics did he have of his dick?
Oh, quite a few. Like some zoomed in, some zoomed out.
Hard, flaccid.
Always flaccid. Yeah, yeah.
Always flaccid.
It was like silly. To be honest, it's similar to the alcohol thing.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't just a weird thing to do because it's like fun. Because he was like wearing a crazy hat or whatever.
Was it fun?
Oh.
It wasn't unfun.
It was more, I was fine, but it was more just ironic where it's like, if I wanted to report this, it's you. So I feel like
pretty complaining about the complaints department.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yes. No, it'll never go through.
Yes. Who's he going to complain to? Yeah. His mum? Exactly. No, there's no one to complain to. It's cool to have an album, though. Because if it's like, if I took a picture of my dick.
I think it was all just recent. I don't think he clicked on an album. Yeah, right,
yeah. Not before he just.
It was just photos. Played, yeah. Boom. Well, I didn't see him clicking.
Recent photos is an album. not to split. Not to fucking start war in the studio.
It's just the default album, but yes, no, fair enough.
I had a guy. I was down the coast on the weekend and I was playing golf, and this is not about stand-up, but this old bloke comes up to me and I knew him when I was really young. He's actually Dan Christian's uncle, the cricketer, if you know who that guy is.
Oh, no.
Don't know, but
wrong audience. Yeah,
that's pretty good, though.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad.
You wouldn't say his name like that if he wasn't someone of some note.
Great.
And to be his uncle, can't imagine how proud you'd be.
Totally. Anyway, he comes up to me and he goes, oh, mate, he goes, so proud of your comedy stuff. I remember you when you were 12 and stuff. And he goes, I don't watch that show that you're on. Not for me. Don't like it at all. But, you know, I admire you that you're having a crack.
But nevertheless, really? I'm proud.
That's what he said to me. It was pretty good. Like, I couldn't have loved it.
Then how do you know about it?
Well, I mean, other people have spoken about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he said it like it was like he was really being a good person, reaching out.
I think that's true, though.
Appreciated
such altruism.
Like, hated the thing I was doing. But he was willing to shake. It's like when that, like, people running for prime minister like shake hands at the debate, and then they get a photo together having a beer or something.
Everyone's like, that's respect.
Yeah. That's kind of what he was doing, you know.
Yeah. He's Latham staunching John Howard. I feel like, though, that's kind of true. He's right. I think it's very easy to compliment if you, just naturally flick something on and loved it. But if you hated it and watched it all the time through gritted teeth, which it feels like he does.
Oh,
yeah. And that's more of that's more commitment, you know.
More commitment.
Fucking good on him. Fucking good on him. He's coming up.
I'm so fucking proud.
Fucking wait.
My pride is outweighing just how fucking bored I am right now watching this.
He's bastard.
I mean, it is ultimate respect if he watches every night.
Yeah,
just exactly. To support and me. And I'm on it fucking once every 2 weeks. Just hoping to see me for 2 minutes. He just hates it.
Yeah, and then if you'd been doing all that and then he happens to see you, probably didn't expect to, oh, there he is, you'd fucking want to tell you what he's doing. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you'd
totally.
Want credit for the work.
Of course. Yeah. I know I gave him very little.
Yeah. You were probably offended.
Like,
what is this?
I was smiled. I was like, thanks, Greg. Yeah. I'll let it chat to you. Good luck with it all.
But I suppose in reality, it probably does go back to maybe the thing you were talking about before about men feeling threatened or whatever and not enjoying. Maybe his wife's putting on the TV. Oh, it's this again. You know what I mean? I want to be the funny guy in the home.
Yeah.
You know? I'm cooking. I might say a gag. Get that off. You know, look at me.
Yeah.
Being threatened in your own home.
I mean, yeah, that happens big time.
I reckon that might have spurred on.
You
some
think
of
he was
the,
threatened in his own home?
I think that's a bit of the. I think there's a bit of defensiveness.
Maybe home invasion.
His wife hates the show even more than him.
Just a guy who's so threatened in his sexual relationship that he tries to fight the TV every time it's on. Who's this cunt?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are, mate? You think you're fucking funny?
Funnier than me?
He is pretty funny. He's a. It's Jimmy Carr. Yeah. 8 out of 10 cats don't hit the TV.
My dad was talking about TV. I saw him on the weekend and. When I was growing up, he would always say this, which I think is very common. He would always be like, there's just bloody nothing on TV. Nothing on TV. Mm. Like, that was a common thing. And now he's got it all. Like, he's got Netflix, Stan, Amazon. Like, I've got it all set up for him. Mm. I'll even get him an HBO Max account with a fucking VPN if I have to.
Totally.
And he's still like, there's fucking nothing on. It's like it's all on, you know? Like there's nothing else.
Well, we've stumbled upon the only common denominator here is you, mate.
Yeah.
Your selection criteria. You're
not on.
You do it with the. Maybe he's just never had a remote. No.
Oh, he's got that. There's so many remotes there now. He's got all the remotes. He's got all content ever made, pretty much, he can access. And he's like, there's nothing on.
He's gone from underwhelmed to just overwhelmed by it all. I think it's probably.
Oh, you think now he doesn't want to dive in too deep?
Well, also, maybe if he's sad, he won't get to say the saying anymore.
I think he likes the saying. It's become part of his personality.
Exactly. The guy thinks nothing's on.
I also had to carry. A dead wallaby, Crookshank, on the weekend.
Oh, true.
You ever had to do that?
Nah, no dead animals or anything like that.
Funeral? Pallbearer?
Yeah, he was my uncle. And I was one of the men in the family. I kind of had to do it.
So he's in the wallabies. That's pretty sick.
Where? What? Tell me more.
Tell you, I mean, it's like I was playing golf. I got onto the ninth tee and there was a dead wallaby. On the well, actually, I said it was a dead kangaroo, and then the guy I was playing with this guy I was playing golf with is like a guy I used to know when I was young, and he loves to be like I've changed. He loves to say that because I live in the city, and he like
totally. Oh, that you've changed,
yeah,
right.
And so I'm like, it's a dead kangaroo, and he's like, dead wallaby. He's like, what have you been doing?
You've changed.
So clearly a dead wallaby, and I'm like, I mean, it's like, how do you
in the city not inspecting dead carcasses all the time to know the different species?
Totally.
What did you do? Have to move it?
Well, this is what he goes. We're gonna move the wallaby, and I'm like, we don't have to move the wallaby, man. It's like, why? It's not like, you know, like you're kind of supposed to give someone CPR if you see someone going in. Like it's like a legal thing. If you know it, you have to do it. None of that applies to like dead wallabies.
I think if it's on the coat of arms, that's why I think maybe the kangaroo wallaby distinction is quite important.
But it turned out it was a kangaroo.
Oh, then you should.
I was
my
right.
Goodness.
No, but I did move that? It because I googled the weight of it. I went home. It was
that
so fucking heavy.
Not what I was expecting you to say. Yeah. How did you figure it out? I thought another bloke walked by.
You've changed, mate.
No, because I got.
Hang on, but how did you even know the weight of it?
Well, no,
pretty heavy. You just googled pretty heavy and wallaby came up.
No, I googled the average weight of a wallaby.
Okay.
And it was 20 kilos. This thing was so much heavier than,
totally.
Than that. Like
maybe
so
you just haven't been to the gym.
Yeah, it's lean, the kangaroo.
In
terms of the weight, you know? Yeah, like, totally. So, like,
they're fit. They're like boxers and stuff, you know? They're ripped. But like, I wasn't going to pick it up. And then my friend, I hit my shot and I looked over. He's already picking it up. Carrot. And he's like, you got to grab the other end.
He's trying to do the city thing. He's trying to deliberately create a bit of a weird, gross situation
totally.
To try and.
Yeah,
it's like, this is what it's normally like. It's like, is it?
So I just said, fucking grab the other end of the kangaroo, which I thought was a wallaby at the time, after what he said, and then threw it. We had to throw it into the bush.
And to carry it like a rug and throw it in the bush.
Yeah, man. It was like, that's not what people do. Down the coast or in the country regularly.
Yeah,
surely not, because that's no life to live.
I mean, it depends where it was. Do you think it was maybe someone who, you know, you didn't let play through sending you a message?
Oh, it's like if you did. Well, I mean, everyone I've told that story to so far has asked whether a golf ball hit it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Which is not what happened, I don't think. I think it's fallen off a cliff above the tee.
Oh, totally.
Brutal.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is a horrible story.
And now you might have just like an Aussie version of Corona.
Yeah, well, that's like, a guy didn't, like, we weren't shaking hands or anything.
Because
everyone's like, no, COVID.
No, pick up the
it's like,
fucking
I just up
animal
a dead
that died recently.
It was disgusting. Actually disgusting. I shouldn't have bought that up. Cut that out, the dead
What
kangaroos.
Else has been happening, mate?
I mean, yeah, it's traumatic times, you know?
And what was the, like, I mean, you got to play the holes at lies.
Yeah, you
so what was the, what, you just moved it and played on.
Moved it and kept playing, yeah. But if your ball came to rest on a dead kangaroo, you would, I reckon you could argue a way to move it. Like, it'd be a bat. Whoever you're playing with, if they're like, play the ball as alive.
I reckon whatever the rules say, it's just now a time for, like, forget about the rules. Step outside of the rules of golf. Life has intervened.
Yeah, life is, and life intervenes a lot on the golf course.
Sure fucking does, brother.
Yeah, and you can't have rules of golf for, like, everything that might happen in your life during the game. You know what I mean? Then the laws of the game would be too long.
Well, man, not that I watched it, but I saw the ad. MasterChef, this show, it's like a cooking show. They cook, you know. Yep.
It's a cooking
show. And they had, fuck off. They had, get me a drink. They had an ad for it, like a couple months. The one that's on now, the season with all the champions or whatever. They say it's all the champions, and then it says, fucking, this cunt came 10th 4 years ago.
Well, yeah.
And it's, oh, yeah, what a champion.
I knew one person on the billboard. I mean, I don't watch the show. I knew Poe.
Everyone knows Poe.
It's like, who's anyone else? I'm the surfer guy.
Yeah, but I'm not here to rip other people.
Wasn't Poe one of the Teletubbies?
I don't know. Not the action. No, but the name. I think that. Oh, fucking hell. The name. No, but they had. They had the MasterChef, the ad, and like it was. They had an outdoor cooking event, whatever it was, a challenge. You know, it's all challenges.
Mm.
And there was a storm or something like that, and they showed it. And they go, "Who will be the winner of this round?" And like, it's raining and it's electrical, and they're showing it all, like the water and the electricity's dripping in the water and shit, and they're doing all. And I'm like, this isn't the best MasterChef, you know? Like, you don't have to fucking dodge electricity. Like, what are they going to do? Throw rocks at them, you know? Like, who's the best? That's like,
That's what they... Because they try... On those cooking shows, it's like they try to, like, create this suspense and excitement to make cooking so much more interesting than it is. Like, cooking is a pretty relaxing, enjoyable thing. And then on that show, it's like people are crying and stressed out. Maybe they're just fucking electrocute people.
To be honest.
Well, there was all like that, and they'll make, you know, like you had to deal with that to go. And it's like, I think that's a bit far, you know. It's good for TV, but not for cooking.
Also, if you've left your, like, at least even the ones that are indoors, you only have like half an hour and it's stressful. It's like if you've only left yourself that amount of time to get it done, like you failed at cooking. Like that's a that you're bad.
Yeah,
you
know? I hate the
planning is a big part of it.
Yeah,
you know
it's like
I mean?
How long do you think you'll take to make this?
Exactly.
And work your day back from there.
Yeah.
It'd be sick to be like a full, like, rich. You know how on these movies, like these tournaments that go on, like you're real rich and you get all the best chefs and you bring them all in.
Mm.
It's like a secret. They get a letter. They don't know what it's about and they get a plane. Like James Bond shit and they all show up and then you're just like having a blaze and you're like, you got 1 month, the best fucking meal coming back here in a month is the winner. You know, no time limit, no 30 minutes. Like, you got as long as you want. You know, bring me the best. Like, fuck the clock. Fuck the time.
I reckon exactly, right? And I reckon you've got like a month, and at any point, you ring the judges and you say it's time, and they pop in, and then they can, like, test what you've made.
So they've got to heat it up.
You know what I mean? Well, no, my point is that it's going to be...
heated up in the microwave.
My point is that there's going to be, like, probably like an hour window when this thing is at its peak to eat. You've got a month to work on it.
Yeah, work on the recipe, try it. Like, yeah,
and then practice. You ring Matt Preston up, or I think he got fired or whatever, but then you're like, it's time, get round here.
Totally.
Then they do it.
But then I suppose the issue with that, I suppose, television-wise, is like, it'll probably be like four times more delicious, but that doesn't really pop on screen. The only difference in that show, will instead of going, the judge will be like, that's the only...
Yeah, but just like, even just... I don't know. They just shouldn't have. It's just, it is. The time is so critical.
Totally.
On all that, and they're saying, oh, you can get more ingredients. I mean, fuck talking about MasterChef, but like, we are. But the one.
We're here.
Well, the one with the electrocutions and shit was a bit much. That's, you know what I mean?
I like it.
I'm an electrician. I'm not even down to get electrocuted. You know?
Cooking like a pasta dish or something.
Out in the rain
Well, they should do it on like a tightrope or something.
You have all sorts
of
rounds.
Why not? Like, why not?
They're going to do that. Just
emotional bullying round. People go, you're a fuckhead. You're a failure.
Like your mum comes in and she's like, you'll never make this as good
and,
as
they
I
make
made
her
it.
Cry. They pinch her. And she's like, ow!
But you know how... Well, they do exalt everyone's...
Like, stop pinching my mum! They're like, pork! And you're like, ah!
Well, everyone... They do have everyone's emotional journey that they prop up the whole way. They'd be good to reverse it. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
No wonder your dad died. Yeah. Fucking lousy cook, you know?
Like, I want the people that get cancer after they're on The Voice, you know? Yeah.
And then they should do the real...
or during.
They should do the real kitchen edition where all the chefs are on ketamine and, like, sexually assaulting all the staff.
Yeah, that's the real...
That's the real reality of working in a commercial kitchen.
Well, I suppose that's the thing. They're practicing... The MasterChef people, they're not practicing to be the MasterChef, because the MasterChef probably, gets to chill and kind of plan their time, but they're training to be, I suppose, yeah, the bottom chef in a kitchen where you are getting yelled at and there are time pressures.
Yeah.
Which is just not our...
The gap between, like, what I assume is high-end kitchen and, like, what goes on in there and then, like, a weird kind of kitchen at, like, a pub or a shitty RSL is, like, couldn't be further. That might be the biggest gap in any industry. Mm. Like, you have a look at, like, someone doing, like, $7.50 schnitzels.
I have looked into the kitchen in a few RSLs and been like, that bloke has not been on MasterChef.
Totally. It's like...
There's no way.
When you see these high-end chefs, it's almost like art, and they talk about it with art. And then you look at the guy
the
doing...
The 47th schnitzel.
Yeah. He doesn't... There's no love in it for him.
I think sometimes they put a bit of love in it.
You'd hope.
Every random one. Like this one I'm going to... Matt, I wonder if you could taste it.
The love.
Yeah. That'd be a good maybe like a promotion. Like at the RSL. One of these meals tonight
is made with love.
Is made with
Someone
love.
Gave a fuck about. Will it be yours?
Exactly.
Well, like, that's ooh. All life is anyway. You know, like who gives a fuck about you? You know? So, like, why not?
Doing pretty well, Crookshank.
Yeah, how are you, man? What has been going on?
Oh, mate. No, I've been working. I've been good.
Yeah.
Has the vibe of your electrician gig changed during Corona?
It was, kind of. I was red hot before, like, getting through jobs, and it definitely, was slow. Mm. Like, people weren't, like, had know about their futures financially. Like,
totally.
This and that, myself included. Like, you know what I mean? Everyone, when it was crazy at the start, you know, it was like, what's going to happen here? And then slowly it's kind of picked up a bit. You know what I mean? Because the jobs I do, like, they're not really affected by any, you know what I mean? Like, someone's light switch is broken or something like that. That works there all the time, but... Just a matter of people weren't spending. But then when it all sort of came all right, and then as well I got a lot of work because things were shut off for so long, which isn't great, and I had to replace like a big kitchen exhaust fan and motor and things like that. There was a few problems with that. Like,
well, that's
because
not
things
bad.
Have been sitting idle for so long.
Totally.
That then they don't like, you know what I mean? Like two months with this fan off or whatever, and the motor just seized and that was it. And so I had to replace that.
That sucks.
But someone told me that logic also applies to like aeroplanes, which is a bit sketchy.
What do you mean?
Like they need to fly, you know? Their motors as well. The fan almost looked like a fucking aeroplane thing.
Yeah.
So like it's the same thing.
I could probably fix
aeroplanes.
You can't fix an aeroplane.
I can, mate. I can. Qantas.
I mean, they just cut a lot of people, maybe to make way for fucking Crookshank.
Yeah, Redfern Electrical. Any job, any time.
There's like 8 plane crashes in a row. He's like, yes, no, that technically probably wasn't part of my job as aeroplane technician, but it was part of my job as comedian. So you can't.
That's right.
Can't criticise my failures here either.
But yeah, that's kind of scary to think. I mean, I don't want to fearmonger on. Oh, you know, but like,
you'll be right, man.
And I'm not saying it's true. Just someone. That's one of the things you hear. You know,
just on the basis of that, I'm not getting a plane. Like first.
We'll give it a minute, you know, see
how it goes.
Absolutely. Man, planes do fly a lot, hey. Like, you know, you're saying they need to fly. They just, like, when they land, well, when you get on the plane, it's just landed and other people have gotten off.
Totally.
Like, when are they sleeping?
Yeah, I think you're worried. No. What if it's painful to them? When they're on the ground, they're like, get me off. Like,
they hate it down there. Oh, it's like a armor to them. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly.
I hope they feel comfortable in the sky.
Totally.
They like it up there.
Because you're going the other way. You're thinking that they're like overworked. And
they're
like,
and they're like, give me a break.
Yeah. I suppose. I reckon they're indifferent.
I mean, I'm sure they'll run them on the ground a bit, you know, like see if they won't just go, oh, I'll be right.
What, like zooming around really quick?
Yeah, I reckon
honestly reckon they go, it'll be right.
Yeah.
Because they land, I've watched the plane and they just like plug in, put some fuel in it, and then there's just like putting bags and stuff. Like, and then they're ready to go.
Surely, there's
where's
a break
the big engine
more...
check?
you think
do they check the oil? That's what like the tire pressure.
Surely every 3 months.
Oh, but there's a lot. You know, I think they do.
Yeah,
I think they check everything.
And sometimes they must know because sometimes they go, "There's a problem," and we're going to fix it in the next half an hour.
There's a problem.
You know,
that's never happened on a plane I've been on. There's a problem.
Really? Yeah, you get on and they're like, "Something's small as fucked, so we're going to be delayed because we've got to fix that before we." Take off.
Have you heard? This is a pretty good story. You might like this, right? Someone's friend, a comedian that we all know. His partner told me this, right? Mm. So she's on a plane, right? And it's probably Jetstar. I don't know, but let's just say it's Jetstar, right?
Sure.
And she gets on, and it's about to take off, and a woman like the gate is about to close, and a woman gets up and she's like, I'm getting off the plane. I don't want to be on the plane. I'm not getting this flight anymore. And the air hostess is like, no problem. We'll get you off the plane. She gets off the plane, and then they go, they shut the door, and they start taxiing off the runway. And then a woman gets the air hostess, and she's like, I'm really sorry, but I'm pretty sure that woman that got off the plane had a bag and left it on the plane. So like, they're like, oh shit, what do we do? So like, they go talk to the captain, and the captain's like, well, we've got to find this woman's bag. The other woman, they try to find the woman at the airport. She's gone.
Oh my God.
She's left. So they can't get in contact.
Do we know what race this woman is? The one who left? Is this a race-based assumption?
I don't think so.
That there could be terrorism.
I mean, like, that is where it's going, but I don't think, I didn't get told any race.
Interesting.
Right. But anyway, so then they're looking for it. They can't find this bag. And then they're like, what do we do?
Because they usually have a policy, right? Like, if your bag is on there, they take it off before you.
Totally. Yeah. Anyway, so then they said to the woman, they're like, we couldn't find the bag. We're pretty sure there's not a bag on here. And then she gets up and she's like, I'm not. Can you
hang on? So many people doing speeches on this plane.
No. I mean, like she says it to
a bunch of people.
And
yeah.
She's like, well,
and it's all public.
She's like, I'm not flying.
Yeah.
Don't feel comfortable. Get me off this plane. And then another person around her has been, and they're like, well, I'm not flying either. And then all these other people.
It's not going to be a chilled flight if you stay.
Totally right. And all these other. It's kind of like the scene in Dead Poets Society. All these other people start standing up, and they're like, I'm off. You know, I don't want to do it. So totally. Then the captain has to get on the speaker, and he's like. He's like, all right, they're like people power. He's like, we're docking the plane and we're taking every bag off this. Everyone's getting off the plane. Every bag is getting off, and then we're going to reload it and then fly again. And apparently it was delayed for like 4 hours. Just because this one woman was like,
totally.
I think she had a bag.
She reckoned.
She didn't even know. She just had a bit of a hunch.
I want to know what race she was as well. I feel like that does colour the story. If it makes it a bit of a racist assumption, then I feel like the story, well, like the moral for me is like she should have probably just kept it to herself and everyone should have dealt with it.
Totally.
But take that option away and it is kind of like, I don't know what I'd do. Like particularly if three people have made a scene, and now it's a thing.
I'm off.
If you were then part of a plane crash after an explosion or something and like it was a bomb or something, you'd feel like a fucking idiot. Like you couldn't have had more warning.
Totally.
Than like three people storming off being like, I'm doing this because there could be terrorism.
Yeah. It's like they gave you a choice.
Oh, and it's rare that you
get... They were trying to be nice to you.
The people that are like, I was meant to be on the plane in 9/11. The story of that isn't they got to the plane and some people were like, I smell something might be afoot and I'm going to get off. And they were like, yeah, I think I will too.
Well, that could have happened.
Totally.
Yeah, we don't know. And then as they're flying into the building, they're just like, they warned us.
You'd feel like you deserved it when they like took over the plane.
So whatever. Fucking annoying though, wouldn't it be?
On that
you
plane.
Know what I mean?
Oh, man.
Remember that flying, you know? And it's like.
That's the thing. I feel like it depends on the vibe of the person doing it. Yeah. Like if they seemed kind of annoying, I think then I wouldn't follow.
Oh, and the, yeah.
But try and get a vibe of how their appetite for risk, basically.
But, like, you know when, like, you're traveling or whatever, touring or whatever, doing shows, working, and you're booking flights and you're just like, fuck it, I'll book the 6 a.m. or whatever because it's $50 cheaper and whatever. And then you're in Melbourne and it's 4 in the morning and it's like, oh, fuck, I got the 6 o'clock. You know what I mean? And you've got to go back to some cunt's Airbnb single room that you've got for fucking $20 a night. Get your shit. Go to you get to in the worst condition, and then all you want to do is go home. Like you know what I mean? Just like take me home.
Dude. And then a woman's
and then
like,
it's like this shit. Oh. Fuck.
And then a woman's like, I think there was a handbag.
I'm not sure, but I was jealous of the bag.
It was
I remember
a great
being
bag.
Jealous of the bag.
Yeah. Could we find the bag and maybe I keep the bag?
Yeah, she wanted the bag. She wasn't even concerned about terrorism. Yeah. She just wanted it.
Oh man, that is true. I can totally relate to being like, I once got stuck on the airport, like just on the ground. We landed and we're just stuck there for 4 hours because like the gate broke. I don't know something. Like, I don't know what happened. That's what they kind of told me. But it was like
that's
it was
putting no effort into the.
Oh, totally. That's
it's
what they
fucking.
Say.
It's
the captain's
broken.
Like, yeah,
whatever.
It's
that's
broken.
So much respect we have.
You're
for
stuck
you.
On the plane. You're broken.
You wouldn't get it, okay? The problems that we're having, you couldn't even fucking conceive of. So I'm just gonna tell you.
But I wouldn't get it though.
Exactly. They're right. You've just got to sit there and take it.
But it was like it was Sydney to Melbourne. Qantas flight like on a Monday morning at like 7. So it's like everyone on there, I'm the only one not in a suit. Like it's just all these like finance people like going to meetings, and they were fucking rioting on this because they're just stuck on the tarmac.
Totally.
And they're just like ring people in like the meet, like they've just flown down for a meeting in the morning and they're just about to get on a plane.
Everyone's doing meetings at
totally
once.
And they're just everyone's furious. People
some of them probably are in the same meeting. They should just do it on the plane.
Totally. Yeah, I'm sure a few were. I'm sure they could have done it. It's a great spot to have a meeting.
No, but it's in like two of them like just by chance flying down for the same meeting and then like
I'm like, can you swap seats?
It's like, the meeting's fucking late. You're going to have to come to us. People are coming to the airport to get on the plane. You know?
Driving on.
This is the CBD now.
The best way to avoid plane delays is to have nothing on. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I've got nowhere to be. Yeah. You know what I mean? It'll always land. As soon as I'll go to Thingo's house first before the show. Exactly. Whatever. It's like, nah, fuck
it's like
you,
cooking.
It is like MasterChef, bro. They exactly. put the time. There's no need for the time. Like, you put it on. You just do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a great way to justify having nothing to do on a Friday night after you fly down. You're like, nah, it's the smart choice.
Yeah.
I haven't had anything on for the next 3 days. Have I told you about me almost holding up a plane?
Nah.
That's good. Were you asleep?
No. I was... Well, I had a few times where you're like called to the plane. But no, this time I think I was flying back to Sydney from Melbourne. I think I'd had a relatively big night the night before and had KFC.
Oh my God. And you're a vegetarian now.
Yeah, exactly.
This is why.
Actually, I reckon that, not, you know, things contribute to it, but I reckon that's probably one of them. It's like rough, but wasn't like food poisoned or anything really, but just like felt funny. And then when I got to the airport, like pretty bad, like I had to go to the bathroom a few times and like take shits basically. But then sometimes...
On the flight?
No, like before the flight.
Oh,
and I was worried basically I wasn't going to be able to do it because like... There's 10 minutes at the beginning. The only period you have to worry about is like when you sit down and then when you take off and the seatbelt thing comes off. And I'm like, what if I shit myself in that?
It's that bad. You're going to shit yourself.
I just felt sick. And
you're under pressure too.
And it's pressure.
Compound interest on the pressure.
Exactly. And I had a window seat as well. But up the front.
Ideally, sometimes.
Yeah, totally. But not this. I want like access.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I remember going to the bathroom before, kind of like thinking about whether I'm going to do it. And I also couldn't, like I just felt bad, but I couldn't shit. So it wasn't like I was, had diarrhea even. I just like felt sick. So it kind of could happen in any minute. Decided it was too stupid to just, like I can't not get on the plane because I was worried about shitting myself. Like that's pretty embarrassing.
It's funny, but it's
maybe it's that's crazy. What this other woman did. We haven't considered it, you know what I mean?
She shat in the thing.
She never saw a bag.
Yeah.
She shat in the overhead compartment and then got off and then the woman's like, she left something. It must have been a bag. She wouldn't have shat up there.
Yeah, exactly. Those are for vomit, madam. But in this case, I got on the plane and was quite lucky because I think I was in like, row two or something and I was, on the window seat, but there was only one person next to me. Sat down and then I was kind of like one of the last people on. Then I saw another woman just duck to the toilet because it's kind of like
flight attendants
are like still kind of pattering around. The formal bit hasn't started.
Go to the toilet before the flight starts.
Sorry? Yeah, in the bathroom. Oh, I mean,
I've never even thought about doing that.
You're not meant
that.
To, but I just saw her duck in. I'm like, I'm just going to duck in because I've probably got like 3 to 4 minutes now and like, try and get something done so I don't have to worry about it. And then I was in there, got it a bit started, but it was like hot and I was kind of just feeling... kind of dehydrated and like kind of became a bit faint. And then I just heard like, sir, what are you doing in there? And I was like, oh, sorry, I won't be long. And then like a minute after that, she's like, we've got one more minute to take off. Otherwise the whole, like we're going to have to wait like 2 hours or whatever. Like we're going to miss out.
And what's
she's yelling
situation?
At me. I'm at the front of the plane as well. The whole plane is
can
like.
Can see you.
Well, they can see the door. So she's like, I'm like, I'm sorry. She's like, stop. You're not even meant to be in there. Like she's screaming at me. And I like start having what I describe as a panic attack. Like just, oh fuck, I can't. And cause I'm still feeling really sick. And then just came out and there's like 100 people looking at me.
You would feel the eyes on
you. The biggest dirties I've ever seen in my whole life. We didn't miss the takeoff. But I suppose that's the time I learned that, they have like bookings and if they miss them, they're delayed. Totally. Particularly if it's Jetstar or something. They don't get another one for like 3 hours or whatever.
Yeah. But I've like when a plane is held up and they're looking for someone and then, everyone's seated and then someone gets on the plane and everyone's just being like, oh, it's almost like they do it like they boo them. They're like, boo.
Totally.
But to know the person was in the toilet shitting.
Oh, you'd think there'd be a bit of human empathy there. You know.
But they don't know that. That's why I think I tried to be... Well, that happened another time.
Could I make a message? And you're like, oh, guys, I've eaten something. Exactly.
Can I use the mic? Because I need to explain
myself. Do they have a seatbelt on the toilet?
No. Exactly.
That's a fucking problem.
What's a seatbelt?
They should.
Well, then you can just chill there while they take off.
Oh, a seatbelt. Totally. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Clip in.
I mean, it's not ideal, but like...
I mean, it would be all right. Totally in a leg room.
Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes people are sick.
I always think it would be... Every time I've ever gone to the toilet on a plane, I'm like, I hope it doesn't crash now. Because I don't want to be in here when it goes down. I just want to see...
What, because it'd be a bit smelly for the 1 second
before
you...
No. I'd like to see some human eyes as I go down.
you want the moment.
I want to just...
You reckon you're going to smooch someone?
I would probably try, for sure. I'd be like, I don't care. I'd be like, can we kiss?
Please. I've seen it in the movies. I've never seen a guy in the cubicle in the movies.
Yeah, if you're not choosing who it would be before every flight, like, you're fucking lying.
Man, how is it when you're sitting on the plane and someone hot gets on, like an attractive person, and you're like, please be me. Please. It's never you. Like, I've never had someone...
As in sitting next to you.
Yeah. I've had some great chats to people sitting next to me on planes before, but like never had when the dream beautiful person gets on, I'm like, imagine if they sit next to me and we struck up a conversation.
See, this is the thing.
Just doesn't happen.
That has happened to me numerous times, I reckon, and maybe that just means our threshold for who we consider attractive is different.
Different, yeah.
I've got very low standards because that's happened
You get a plane and like, I mean, like 1 in 20 plane trips is a hot person on it.
Exactly.
Everyone else is just a gargoyle.
I think that's worse though because you... like fantasize. I've had a few like long, 12-hour, 20-hour, whatever, like long flights with someone pretty attractive near me, and you just start dreaming about a life together. And
I love
like
that.
That's worse. You know what I mean?
That's worse
because I think you start imagining that because you're going through the same thing that you're kind of close and part of a little community in the plane.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, this is nice.
Man, those long hauls as well. They feel it's a lifetime. When you land, say you're going to Europe or something, you land and you're just like.
Mm.
Once you get out of the plane, you're like, I'm not really sure what happened then.
Totally.
But when you're in it, you're like, this is it. This is you're looking
around.
It's a
whole other world up there.
You're not really talking to people, but you're kind of making friends. Like there's people sitting near you and they're your friends.
But I reckon the hot girls get that a lot. A lot of people, I reckon, assume that we're great mates after like sitting next to them for a while and they haven't thought about you once.
Yeah. I mean,
that would be their experience a lot, I reckon. Never. Just don't want to be that person.
Yeah, of course.
But also, imagine.
Imagine just landing and then being like, should we share a cab? God, that's the stuff that keeps you going. That's enough to keep my frequent flyer points going.
Yeah.
Virgin went down, virgin but I will not be a virgin one day. That is my plan on the plane. I had another bathroom incident. I just remembered I was at like an RSL with a friend and I went into the disabled toilet to go to the bathroom because it's like, I don't know, it's just the one I found. And went to the... I think I was just in there for a bit. I was weeing, I think. I don't know why that's relevant. But and then
you
I hear
shitting. It is relevant.
I wasn't there for ages, but then I heard a knock. Oi, who's in there? And I'm like, oh shit! Like, is this like a disabled person or someone who works there? That's where I wasn't disabled. And I'm going to get in trouble. Oh, and so I washed my hands and opened the. And I thought I'll put on a bit of like a limp.
Oh my god. That's crazy.
And I opened up and it's just my friend fucking with me. Oh. And he saw me doing the limp.
That's crazy, man. That's bad. That is, you're a bit of a bad person.
It's not bad. I mean, I was 21 or whatever. But like to get out of the, if I thought it was like the RSL boss or whatever, like what's your plan of getting out of that?
I just say I've got mental health problems.
That's
so I'm
worse.
Allowed to be in here.
Are you? Are you allowed to use the disabled toilets if you have mental health problems?
Does it say physically disabled?
No, it doesn't. But I think it's implied maybe with the wheelchair.
Right.
Like the little symbol. It's not a guy going,
why am I alive?
You know what I mean?
Having an existential crisis.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like, let me to the shops quicker. I don't know who I am.
Exactly. Identity issues.
Have you ever parked in a disabled spot? Crookshank?
It's not your vibe. Can't fuck with it. I mean, like, it's a bit my dad. Like, you just, that's a big fine on that one, you know?
Oh,
it's
$500
and shit. And, like, I just, you know, they're going to get you. ACAB, all that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I've been hurt so many times, you know? I've had my legal troubles.
That's the next thing. Tear down the statues, get rid of the disabled parking spots. Fuck the police. That's
level playing field.
I mean, I've done it. Yeah, I haven't done anything too parking the car or whatever. I mean, I've done the fucking office works. Like, I had a counterfeit parking permit for like 2 years. Yeah, that was pretty sick.
For office works?
Well, no, the guy I live with did it for me. And he just printed it off, and like I just parked out the front in the 2 hour zone for fucking didn't have to forever. But then I thought,
did he print it off at Officeworks?
My friend.
Oh, somewhere. But then I kind of started freaking out because I thought, if they one day caught you for this and were like, this car's been here every day. You know what I mean? You get caught doing a tag or whatever in the city and it's whatever it says, and they, every tag, like they've got, they'll be, you're done for all the ones under that
you
tag.
You can't just be like,
oh, I just did it once. They're like, no, we fucking know you've done, they've done the rules all around the world because they hate graffiti so much. And so, like, I was just, if it was that with part, and it's like, you owe us like 500 grand.
You're going to pay it back.
I'd just be like,
man, my mate got it up to like, I think he got it up. They've tried to cancel my license so much from parking fines, like when I've had two out against my name. My friend Jared got it up to about $7,000 in debt with like parking fines. He just never paid them. They didn't cancel his license. And then it went to a debt collector.
Oh.
And he just offered him a deal. He said, I'll give you $800. And they were like, yeah, I guess. All right, whatever.
The government did. Yeah. I thought that one you just had to pay. When I get parking fines, I pay them day of immediately and then I can pretend it never happened.
Nah, man, don't. You can, I mean.
Rack up the debt.
Well, I've done this, but I think I'm on a list now. So as soon as I get one, if it's late, they're like, we're suspending your license.
Right.
Because I've got no good. But my friend got it out so far. Like, he was just getting parking fine and parking fine.
Man, I got it. I got my license suspended on a $50 fine. For like not voting in the local election, some shit like
they
that.
Suspended
Well, I never got the fines. Like, I never paid them. I just thought, oh, whatever. Like, I'll sort it out one day. It's because it wasn't a drive. You know, I know for driving stuff they can suspend it, but they suspended it. But I moved house. I didn't change my address. So then I got pulled over by the highway patrol, and then fucking, I thought they were just trying to go around, but they were trying to fucking.
That's
you know? So then I got pulled over.
So funny to think they're over. Yeah, just fucking zip around.
And then
their headlights are on.
I think I saw it that way.
But then I got, so I didn't know my license was suspended because I moved. And then I got pulled over. Then I got drug tested positive for fucking cannabis. So then I got done for driving cannabis and suspended license, handcuffed and arrested. Had to go to court, got a criminal charge just because I didn't vote for the fucking local cunt in the election.
You should get to vote when they pull you over. You know what I mean?
Michael McEwen.
Well, I would have voted for the Greens anyway. So none of it might have happened. Vote in the election is what I'm saying. Don't think it doesn't matter or
so
you don't
know. So if the Greens
know,
won, it would, the laws would have changed.
Yeah. Well, who knows? That one.
That is a big.
Sliding door. It's not sliding doors, fucking jail doors,
man. It's crazy as well because it's like if you're not. This is how they get, because they're like, make sure you enroll to vote. But if you don't, it's what I tell people all the time, young kids, when I'm doing my mentoring program.
Yeah, totally.
Which I don't do. That was a joke that no one laughed at. But like,
I thought you might. Who knows? You're fucking carrying dead kangaroos off the course.
I was thinking that's an interesting thing to call it, mentoring. For
mentoring.
Sure.
No, I just don't enroll to vote.
Mm.
And then you're fine. Like, you'll never get fined to do it because you're not on the list. All you're doing is just letting them know that you
exist. You
want to be watched every time you're voting.
Ambassador of the youth, Sam Torton, everyone. Don't enroll to vote. Fuck it. Cop it. Sweet.
I disagree with compulsory voting anyway. Like, that's a stance I have. And I think it's ridiculous that we have to do it. And the fact that then you're, like, crumbled due to it.
I picked it up, but yeah.
It's crumbled. Yeah. That's my assessment, not yours. But
look, I've analysed
it's
it.
It's fucking broken you. You at a year 12 commencement speech, like, it's all about being off the grid, kids.
Yeah. It's like delete Facebook.
Burn your birth certificates. They're like dragging you off.
No, fair play. I mean, you're right. You know, you're right. Like,
I don't think he is. Compulsory voting's great.
No, I don't like it. I stand by it not being good.
I think it's the main thing that makes us not have Trump and stuff.
I think it degrades political messaging down to like the most boring common stuff because people have to go. So it's just like sound. I mean, but that happens as well in America. But at least if you've got to force people to get out and vote, you've got to try to find a different way to cut through. If you're like, you've got to go, otherwise
doesn't that make it more extreme
you.
Then? Because you're only the people who vote are the people who are very energised.
Yeah, well, they want to vote. They're engaged, at least.
But no, I know what you're saying.
I mean, there is
Melbourne Comedy Festival. You know what I mean? Like, come to my show. You know, that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to go to the show. Like,
dude, yeah, you shouldn't have to go to the show. You shouldn't have to do anything. It's like,
come to my show.
Yeah, can I say I agree with this in relation to comedy shows?
Okay, yeah.
Those shouldn't be compulsory.
No, they should. My show should be compulsory.
That would, it would change the
no,
vibe.
No, but then
the
you'd
show.
Have to fucking have a lower platform and fucking bullshit. You know, like it's like exactly yeah, what you're yeah, saying. Yeah. You would, you don't, you're saying no compulsory yes. voting, but you have to go to your show.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing that. Just that's a weak stance, for mate.
He wants
ego.
To be a dictator.
Dude, I just want to be a,
no, but then
know,
you just have cunts there. You know.
Yeah, no, of course.
You're saying
of
you'll
course.
Take the common man.
No,
you'll
I'm
run
saying
at the common
the
man.
People I want to come to my show have to come. If I say you're coming, they're going to be like,
oh, yeah.
You know?
So you want to be in charge of the political situation.
Yeah, right.
And the laws you're going to put through are that you have to come to your show.
Yeah, if I was in Parliament, of course, I would
two
do something
two different
like that.
Compulsory. We're going to switch the compulsory things.
There's no compulsory voting, but it is compulsory that I pick who comes yeah. to my show.
For some reason, there needs to be one compulsory thing, so we're just going to, I don't know, change it to comedy shows. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, come and then, yeah, that's something, isn't it?
Mm.
You know, that's...
I reckon yeah. maybe compulsory. It shouldn't be compulsory for council. That seems more fucked to me. Because no one knows about council. I've never known a thing. Often they're not affiliated with any sort of party. You just have to, like, vibe it from their look.
Sure. I reckon.
Some of them look mean.
It is a bit of... It is a bit more fun voting in local. Because it's a real lucky dip.
Totally.
And you're like, well, I don't know what these people... What they care about. It is right. I remember, like, there's a lot of always smirky white men...
Yes.
And you got to steer clear of them.
You reckon?
You want to go for someone with, you know, who's like a white guy with dreads or something. Someone who's going to shake things
I think
up,
often, yeah. though, you look and there's like Liberal and Labour and they're both old white men, but the old, the Liberal guy often has glasses and can't smile properly. Like it yeah. just looks a bit fake and evil. And then the Labour guy can smile a bit better. And you're like, that's actually the only difference.
Man, that is probably the most... accurate description of Australian politics I've ever heard. Of like a two-party Australian politics.
Yeah,
that is actually yeah. what the difference is between... Yeah.
Like, just looks like, a bit more jolly and less autistic.
Yeah, and ones that are slightly nicer.
Mm.
So I would say the Labor Party are just slightly nicer.
Totally, they're more politics. Just people where there's the other guy looks like he's looked at too many spreadsheets and his PR person has been like... Well, the one person in his office has been like, we need photos for
we need
the thing.
And he's
like,
having okay. a beer and he's then, trying to smile and then pretend he's enjoying the beer.
And there's like two, I don't know, yeah... early 20s girls taking photos and they've gone through like 80 and they're like, oh, none of these are like...
He's just an ugly
Why
bastard.
Can't he look a bit? And like, can we just do a few more? We show a bit of humanity. He's like, I don't get it. I'm busy. Then that's it.
There you go. There you go. Should we wrap yeah. this up?
Well, you've got a gig to do.
You got to get to this gig.
Oh, yeah. Time. I mean, I've got a bit of time, but like...
Nah, mate.
Whatever you're saying.
Mate, you got to get up there on stage.
Can we have a bit of a preview? Any new bits? Any premises you could share?
Yeah. This is a new one.
Here we go.
Did you hear about the dyslexics in COVID?
Mm.
Oh, this is good.
They had four cunts in a 1 meter square. That's it, everyone. I'll see you. See you on the circuit. You have to come to my show.
It's compulsory after
you
that.
You have to. Want to know how to rhyme? You better learn how to add. It's mathematics. Mighty most definitely. It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I revolve around science. What are we talking about here? Mighty most definitely. It's simple mathematics. Check it out. I revolve around science. What are we talking about here? One universal law, but two sides to every story. Three strikes and you bitten for life. Mandatory. Four MCs murdered in the last 4 years. I ain't trying to be the fifth when the millennium is here. Yo, it's 6 million ways to die from this.